Hello, and welcome to the only podcast of its kind on the internet for the Quantum Grammar Shoot. I'm your host, Colin Jason, Matthew, Colin Glass. And in this podcast, I'll talk about a wide variety of topics, which is just me sharing my opinion, mostly through the lens of the wonderful technology known as Correct Sentence Structure Communication Parse Syntax Grammar, i.e. Quantum Grammar. Thanks for joining me. Hope you enjoy it. Lately, I've been watching the most recent video publications on YouTube from different channels that are related to correct sentence structure, communication parse syntax, grammar, i.e. quantum grammar. And I've been made aware of several things, interesting things, one of which I'm going to discuss right now, and that is the republication of Colin David Eiffelwind Colin Miller's old seminars, which is a wonderful thing because the guy is charismatic. He's a very good marketer, so to speak, for the grammar technology. He does teach the basics of it in the videos. He's very well, very good at articulating the basics of how one would use the technology that he brought to the public. He doesn't really say why things work the way they do, but he does share how. And one thing that gives that one impression that I have from watching these videos and the channel that they're being published on reminds me of an analogy of the computer. How you have an individual, whoever it was, who put together the first computer, circuit boards and everything in the technology. And man, what a great invention, what a great creation. Whether he came up with it, or whether it was a group effort, or whether he discovered the technology somewhere and then brought it to the public, I don't know. But the first guy that made the first computer then taught the mechanics of what he created or what he brought to the public or what he brought to the table to other people. And they learned the technology and they learned how to create computers, to build computers, program. And then they in turn taught others and the others taught others. And people learned it. And people who had the skill and the interest and the will and the motivation to learn these mechanics, then built upon those mechanics, made it better, made it more efficient, made it faster, more data, more technologically advanced, yet simpler at the same time. And this is just the genesis of how things evolve. Just like mankind, all right? Supposedly, according to history, started out as little more than type of life forms, and then evolved brains, and now look where we are, right? If you know, buy into that sort of theory, there's an evolution there. Every species gets more efficient at surviving, builds upon and learns from, hopefully, the lessons of their ancestors, to have a better human vessel machine to navigate through the sea of space more efficiently. Same thing with computers. The technology has advanced. I'm using this analogy because in those old David Wynn Miller videos, there are people, which, you know, the hardcore David Wynn Miller advocates, who basically worship the guy as if he was some sort of god, that he can do no wrong. And they explain away all the dichotomies and contradictions very easily, just dismiss them because he can do no wrong, because they have that protagonist-centered morality. And that is why when I look at David Wynn Miller's documents and grammar performances, I see the same mistakes over and over and over again. Consistently. I see the same mistakes in colon Russell hyphen J colon Gould's documents. Which makes sense because David quite obviously was the mentor and teacher for Russell. Also evidenced by when David was no longer here, Russell completely did a 180 and went in a different direction with their grammar construct than he and David had originally been on. They were on one trajectory doing one thing. It was open source. It was everybody could use it and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, Russell tried to shut that down and bottleneck it and turn it into more of a, I guess, a monetary thing and a secret classified type of thing, which that's fine. I mean, it's kind of hard to do, though, when all the information is out in the public already, unless you make people believe that what's out in the public is not correct, and the only way to do correct is to come through him. I mean, if you believe that, that's up to you. That's your choice. However, to continue on, the grammar knowledge is all out there in the public for anyone who wants to learn it in the over 300 videos on my YouTube channel. I bring up this analogy because, like the computer and like mankind, I feel this grammar that I have dialed it in along with colon Raven hyphen Farhad hyphen Tohidi colon Efarin, taken what David brought to the public and fine-tuned it, like whittled it down through knowledge, experience, and performance into a consistent set of rules, set of mechanics that are, again, I use the word consistent. There are no contradictions. It's a baseline, a foundation of knowledge that anyone can certify, anyone can use. There is no question once you learn it that it is what it is. There's no, well, the exception to that is this, or there's no, a verb can function as a fact and a verb at the same time. There is none of that. There's a complete set of rules that are consistent across the board that anyone can use and learn. And I feel that's what we've done. Tutoring me with the grammar, and then he and I having discussions, meaning Raven, and then me going out in the public and putting these YouTube videos up, investing thousands of hours in creating them, and blood, sweat, and tears, and doing workshops with people all over the earth since February of 2018, and gaining experience and teaching it to anyone, also using it through my own postal court with cases that I've had for myself and with clients, and through teaching people on the spot, TSA checkpoints, boarding government vessels, whatever, just through performance and having the ability to do that. I feel that I've definitely fine-tuned the language into a more efficient, consistent, and accessible technology, which is on my YouTube channel. I saw another video. I'm not going to say what channel published it, but they were interviewing some military individual, some colonel guy. I do remember the title of colonel in the video. And this colonel goes on to claim that he knew David Wynn Miller back when David, in the early 90s or whatever, when David was first bringing out the grammar technology, rolling it out to the public. And this guy goes on to say that he saw a flaw in the technology and he told Miller about it, and that he and Miller had had many discussions about it, and that David was aware of the flaw but never did anything about it. And in the title of the video, it actually says something about the colonel accuses David of being a fraud, but I don't ever actually hear the guy say David was a fraud. It's just implied in the way he's talking about David. And my response to that is, of course he never says why there's something wrong with the grammar or what the discrepancy is, or why it doesn't work. The colonel does not even give one iota of a hint that he has any grammar knowledge at all. And it's my experience in teaching people that the guy would need at least, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of hours of study to be able to get closure on this grammar, to be able to tell that there's a mistake in it. I mean, he might be different. He might be a fast learner. But again, as I always say, I look at grammar performances and I see none from him, from this Colonel guy in this video. The only thing I saw, or I mean, I heard, was him just basically giving his opinion on a situation with no closure on why he said that or how it's wrong or whatever. Just more speculation, assumption, presumption. And then he goes on to say some derogatory things about Colin Russell hyphen J. Colin Gould, basically implying that Russell is a liar and so on and so forth, but nothing about the grammar. Now we know that David was Russell's teacher, which that's pretty obvious, and mentor, and I've gone into that in the last section of this podcast, and that Russell's gone in a completely different direction. But this guy's opinion or stance on quantum grammar is much the same as anybody that I know or have seen that doesn't know quantum grammar, that they take a derogatory stance towards it, even though they themselves have never used it and they don't even have closure on it. They don't even know it. They just have some preconceived notion about it, is my guess. It's the same thing with the Glossa Channel people or the Justinian Deception people or the Gemstone University people that I've actually got in contact with a couple years ago, where I said, you know what, combining a lot of what your knowledge is here with quantum grammar could be a very potent thing. And they wrote back to me saying, you know, that quantum grammar was BS and to stay away from it. And right away, I knew by that response that they had not even the first clue about quantum grammar, and that if they had used it, they didn't have closure on it, and that's probably why it blew up in their face. That's why I always say, you have to know what it is you're doing, and you have to have correct volition. If those things are not in place, yeah, it's probably not going to do the thing you want it to do. It's like I talked about the computer, you know? I mean, if you learn. If you today would just pick up an old archaic computer, would you know how to use it? If you fumble through it, is it going to do what you want it to do? Probably not. But if you actually invest time in studying it and getting closure on it and have a guide that would guide you through the process of what you need to do to learn the grammar, get that foundation, and then use it for document, contract, postal vessel, core venues, then you might take a different stance on it. And I mean, it's everybody's choice. I mean, if you choose to dismiss something out of hand just based upon what you've heard about it or seen other people that you like say about it, that's up to you. That's, you know, kind of the way I do some things. Like if I hear about a topic and someone that I trust or that I know says, you know, hey, it's not worth it. You know, sometimes I'll take their word for it because we only have so much now space in a day, and we have to make these vetting choices for ourselves. So as far as quantum grammar goes, if it doesn't resonate with you, if you don't vibe with it, if it's something that might seem too hard or whatever, too archaic, then I mean, it's your choice not to study it. You always have to have a reason to do something, right? You have to have a reason. Your reason to commit to investing value, whatever that entails, or now space and maintaining rule one, rule equal, to get closure on the grammar in order to use it successfully. Which I wouldn't be doing this right now, or making this podcast, or having a YouTube channel with all these videos on it, if it didn't work for me. I wouldn't be doing this. I would be doing something else. But because it has been 100% successful for me as a tool, whenever I've chosen to use it, here I am. I do recall a video that someone sent to me about someone called, their channel is called Foreign Correspondent, and they spell it colon foreign hyphen correspondent period. Now, right off the bat, if someone is calling themselves that, of course, that's a nom de guerre, right? It's a pseudonym. It's not even a correct name. What is it, a corporation? I don't know what it is. It's the name of the YouTube channel, though. Whoever it is that runs the YouTube channel. And so I was sent this video having to do with colons that this individual foreign correspondent put out there. They never put their face in the video. And to my knowledge, I don't know if their correct name is in there or not. I don't remember. I just remember the name of the channel. Right off the bat, the title foreign correspondent, those are two no contract words. So if the individual who created that channel had closure on the grammar, they would know that. If they would have actually took the time to parse the words foreign and correspondent, they would know that there are particles of negation in the word. Foreign, F-O-R-E, that's a no, as in forecast, foretold. For is a particle of negation because it negates the now space. Correspondent, co, hyphen re, hyphen spondent. Re is a particle of negation. So it's not together with the spondent. So that's two no contract words. Title of the channel that produced this video that was sent to me. Now onto the video. The little bit that I watched of it, from what I saw, the individual in the video, this foreign correspondent, was saying that there would not be a colon. There would not be a space after a colon. So in other words, like, for example, my correct name would be colon Jason hyphen Matthew colon glass. There would be no space between the colon and the glass, which makes absolutely zero sense to me from a logical standpoint, because spaces are needed to differentiate between bank values. Because otherwise, then you have to assume where the breaks in the word shapes are. Do you see what I'm saying? There must be spacing used with colons so that one knows what the cause of the sentence is, what the concern of the sentence is, what the possessive of the sentence is, and what the authority of the sentence is. If you use colons to represent positionalodial phrases and you don't put spaces, it's all a one jumbled thing. It's a big pronoun, basically, with no spacing. Spaces serve a function. Everybody needs their space, right? The point is to have consistent spacing, which go into the mechanics of the document, which you would give closure to in your dictionary styles manual pertaining to that particular document, contract, postal vessel, court, venue. You would give closure to the spacing, to the colons, to the facts, to the position lodials, verbs, conjunctions, everything on the document. You would give closure to the flag, postal mechanics, whatever it is. But to get back to the individual with the video about the colons, so starting off with the name of the channel, I can see, okay, they don't have closure on the grammar. They haven't even taken the time to parse those two words or to know the mechanics of creating them, presenting them correctly using correct mechanics if they want to use those specific words. They don't even know that. And then they go on to say there's no spacing with colons. So they just create a big word letter jumble mess with symbols and letters all jumbled together. And then we have to assume where the breaks are, the separation between the terms, which makes no logical sense to me at all. So these are some of the things that I see come my way, whether it's sent by students or just people just send me random shit all the time. Like, hey, what do you think of this? Or they'll just send me a video link when and nothing else. Most times if people send me a video link or anything and I'm not familiar with them, it just goes in the trash. Basically. And if someone sends me an email and does not put their full correct name at the bottom of the email, sometimes I'll just trash those too. Because if someone does not care enough to maintain rule one and rule equal, meaning they know my name, I just ask the same consideration of them to share their name, their full name, then, I mean, why would I want to contract with someone like that that doesn't take that type of consideration? These are just basic etiquette things, not so much to do with correct sentence structure, but just etiquette consideration. Well, that's about all I have for you today. Just went over a couple videos and channels. Actually, just one channel that I mentioned. And hope you enjoyed it. Again, you know, if you want to do a workshop, want to apply for a workshop, or you have a specific grammar question, email me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com. And I'll tell you what to do from there. Check out my other YouTube channel, Coral Blade Grotto, if you get a chance. And I'll see you next time.